for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. As the solar eclipse energy has moved, we're past us by, but we still have plenty of the soul. Get to keep chit-chatting about our important topics. Now, this one is opinionated, and we're going to keep having more of them. So, subjective experiences, very important. And FYI, the individuals who are empowered are people who have healed or are healing their inner child. So I have a whole inner child, my one-year-old and three-year-old are mine. That's why I'm comfortable with emotions, okay? So we're not here to share how everybody's going to get here. We're here to talk about when you're actually empowered, you still get just as angry, irritated, frustrated, and in those emotions that anyone else can get into, the difference is you don't lead with your teenager. So you know that those emotions involve your teenage with the year old, and it's I like to call Kali. So Kali's been coming up as I tried. This is the third time to talk about this because I know it's important to share, obviously, how we feel about any person who is going to use that precious gift of time. Okay, so when I think of my precious 24 hours a day, as a self-empowered woman, I do not need a man in my life. I don't need him emotionally, mentally, or physically. I am personally, as a woman, disappointed in men. Not because of anything except for they want me to use the word man and that they are smart and they don't grow up emotionally. So disappointed, but then again, I don't, and should I really use that word? Who am I, right? Okay, so this is the part though. As an empowered woman, I will not say that I have very great thoughts when it comes to man, unless they are a healthy, self-worth man, at which point they know how to be a healing and or healed inner child. So they're working with their embodied brain. And that means they know how to say, yes, I'm going to stay open-hearted. I will not allow my moods to be acting, to be used to project towards another human being. Okay, so I'm looking to, yes, create and share our passion, our feelings, but I'm supporting us to learn how to just chit-chat also. And so I'm practicing alongside with you all. And this topic is very big because of the level of energy that can come up. Okay, so first let's begin. I use the word dysfunctional avoidantly attachment, but it would be avoidant attachment style, the avoidant fearful attachment style, and then this is just to say a dysfunctional nervous system. Okay, so any person who remains dysfunctional, and that is in fact where they are in their survival mode. So the reality is, because I have attachment and trauma information, I am aware when I have dysfunction, it's because of their being an adaptive child who has unhealed trauma. And while we do know of Patrick Tiahan, and he shares, when you're healing, you have no tolerance, I know that we want to be able and work with that. We are going to allow someone to maintain their mannerism, but because you want to recalibrate your own nervous system, and that's our physical mastery opportunity. Okay, so for those who are 5D mystics or anybody who is looking to become their restorative embodiment, so your mammalian heritage, you practice by motivating yourself to stand in your heart body, your value body, and then to know, okay, I can differentiate and link. And that's what integration is. You differentiate, there's Maria's nervous system, then there's another, I'm not going to be in a dysfunctional nervous system. There's no need for me to get in my modulated embodied self. No need for me to get into my sympathetic. And this is where you get to choose. If you don't want to, then you get taken over by the anger, the frustration, the irritation. And so then your voice begins to be in a specific tone, but really you're also beginning to converse in a certain way. And I want to make this a conversation. And so while sometimes I'm okay with letting my Kali out, I'm looking to hear more. When we have a person who's empowered, so again, healed inner child, you are the master of you. So you know how to work with your tone, the three-year-old, the teenager. And really, it's about moving into the space of neutrality and duality and to allow yourself to clear. This is all subjective. I have a subjective experience. You to be yourself. So that's why my most important goal to share, yes, the infinite experience of our lovely consciousness brain, a lot of things, enlightenment, the human way, bringing human spiritual and spirituality elements together, and what an empowered woman will not be bothered with. So one, we get just as irritated as anybody else, but for different reasons, because I don't need to, nor do I want to correct you. I'm literally just irritated because if you're a man that wants me to call you a man, I don't consider you a man until you know how to take care of your emotions and be a person who knows how to use your mouth and to talk to me. So as long as you're dysfunctional, then no, you're not a man yet. And I have to put up with the bullshit because I got taught that I need to be nice. If you say something nice, say nothing. Take a bit of good advice, say nothing. No, 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 no. Or Jesus, turn the other cheek, forgive them for they do not know. All these very great, important lessons. And then remembering I'm flawed and imperfect. So the part about spirituality, being beyond the solo self. Okay, so all of these plus detachment, trauma information, which I know lets me know that if you are a dysfunctional, avoidantly attachment human being, you are a person who has been given the first 3 years of your life were shitty as fuck, to say the least. Okay, so I know of all these are very important. There is no reason for me to get in an agitated state. But yes, the emotion is there. You know about why it's not necessary. Some people say, no, you should correct it. That's why it's there. No, it's not there because of wanting to correct something. The event took place, frontal cortex. This is why I know that, no, it's a waste of my energy and space. I'm using Maria's valuable breath and air and inner world to get into an emotion that is not anything except for a activity that I can actually master. So if anything, I'm going to take this opportunity to work with myself. Okay, so one, let's see, there's that way I can also give you the example, because this, I'm right now in the presence of a human being, man. And he is a potential lover of mine. Okay, so we're going to get into that. I definitely have a comparison to share with you. And that's not in a way of saying it is right or wrong. No, but a comparison a bored woman will do and how she will handle, and trying my best to share that difference between a woman who is not yet empowered and who's projecting their unfinished business. So they're an adaptive child. Okay, for one, the serial dater, what they are, that's this phase and the beginning of a stage of a relationship. But when they reach the commitment stage, so after those 3 months, they panic and pull away. When that happens, they go, and to get care of the negative feeling from the breakup, they start to fucking date other women or people, depends. But in this case, I'm talking about men who date women. Okay, so they will get busy and they will just do that 360. So an empowered woman, again, we are not traumatized. No man's traumatized me. The minute I've gotten any 360, I've learned, one, how expressing in no matter way, no matter how, no matter what way, shape, or form, I've learned that it doesn't matter. That those who are avoidants will not have the balls to address what you will have voiced as what's going on inside of you. So not only will they not address it, they will also not pick up the phone and call you. And even if they do, some of them pick up a phone, they will not actually talk to you about what happened. They will say that they will talk to you about it, then they will never call you back. And when that happens, and then they do eventually call you back, but they literally don't talk about anything of what was important. Okay, so I'm just saying, after a series of many years of my lovely life, I can tell you that I find it humorous, to say the least, that a man will want me to call them a man, as they don't behave in any way, shape, or form like a man. Because you need to be a man to a woman. I'm going to say, if you don't know how to talk about important shit, you ain't no man. You're not a grown-up. I don't know what you think about you, but I don't really care. In fact, that's the exact reason why I won't address it, because, one, I know that you will have shame, and, you know, hiding it, well, you're double not a man. So now you're making it even more very visible to me that you're just going to keep on sweeping stuff under the rug, which tells me that I can't talk about emotions. So I don't have a safe haven. I don't have a person who I can work with when it comes to emotional things that happen. So now we're cutting that relationship into a secure base. And this is why it's nice to have our friend zone. Because again, the part about the emotional plane for a person who is their own secure attachment, differentiated self, an empowered woman, it's easy to be my own self-regulator. I don't have a problem. Okay, so when they replace you, well, in my case, I'm a solo polyamory person, so I'm open to having partners, which is why I'm not replaced. and that makes it different, and I have compersion. And so it's not been a challenge for me to have somebody who wants to have more than one partner. And when they, though, are still individuals who have emotional unavailability, so here's where you will realize that they don't actually, this is the part, you learn how, and they still will be afraid of doing the, let's talk about what's important. So the part about knowing what that means, it's thanks to my lovely elderly women who taught me that men are clowns. I don't agree with stereotypes though, so I will not be treating any of my lovers like clowns, because until you are a lover of mine, I will be telling you how I think. And that's not a little bit, it's all of it. I won't hide who I am. I don't want to. Now, if you want me to, I won't, because you're telling me that you don't want me to be myself, and that's not going to happen. Okay, so long story short, let's move back to, let me finish reading. So when you meet a person who's a serial dater, and they're a dysfunctional, avoidantly attachment man, or a woman, I've had plenty of women that are doing the same thing right now, for example, that tell me all about their fucking life and that they feel lonely. It's like, okay, well, you know, I know exactly why, but hey, you're not, you know, doing anything about it, even though I've told you all about good attachment trauma, stuff like that. Okay, therapist, stuff to do. So they go and start dating others as they're moving away from you because of that commitment, fear, the pressure, they feel pressured. So they're not actually having what is a conversation if they only talked to a person. But no, they choose to go. And remember, they leave the healthy self-worth woman and they go and start dating the not healthy self-worth women, the ones who have codependent situations. And then they wonder why they're, you know, being treated in a certain way. But then again, their prefrontal cortex doesn't say, you know what? I ditched a woman who was treating me really great to be with somebody who's treating me like a piece of shit. And I want to think I'm smart. So here's the other equation that comes out of an empowered woman. I need to call you man. I need to call you smart. Huh. But I see you don't know how to talk to me about what's going on. Like right now, something major's happened. You've done a 360. You don't know how to pick up the phone and say, hey, woman, I know this is going to be very hard for me, but I want to talk right now about all of what just took place because you deserve this. You know what I mean? We've known each other for a while. Let me just spell it out to you, because if it's a stranger, I mean, I get it, right? A stranger is not going to tell you anything. That's fair and square, but if I've known you for a while and, you know, empowered women, we don't fuck you the first night we meet you. It's not, I don't have a 3-month thing. No, I have a, I don't know if I will ever fuck you at all, basically. It's if I'm intrigued by you, actually, excuse me, I should spell it out. If I'm intrigued by you, then I will actually pursue you. This is me, Maria. So an empowered woman, I know who I'm interested in, and anybody that I'm not, I'm not. I will actively be like, nope. Now, if I get to know you, the thing begins to flourish. So that's a different story. And those things can happen. And that's why it's not going to be a stranger. Therefore, hey, you deserve to know what's going on completely. So I'm going to do what is manly to do, since I'm a grown human being man right now. And I'm going to explain it all to you. You would think that by the time you get to your 30s, I can get it, the first 20 years of your life, you know, the teenagers. I totally get it, but by the time you're in your 30s, so even when my boyfriend, the 4-year one, he broke up, he didn't have a challenge. I mean, granted, he didn't say everything, and that's why, thanks to him, and he's a lovely human being, but even him, in that case, I found out later that he withheld information that is instead something that was not to be withheld. I'm your girlfriend, we're together, how dare you not be able to speak to me? What is the deal? I don't need to be your best friend. That's not the point. We're sharing life together. If I and you are sharing life and you don't know how to speak to me, this is not okay. This means you don't know how to speak to me, so we don't have a relationship. There's no equation. I don't need you to do anything except for be able to talk. And what you find out about mentally, emotionally, and physically mature human beings, which is when you're going to have an empowered woman and man, they know how to talk, and they's. So Al, you can ask me whatever you want. You can sit me down like I've gotten sat down by human beings who don't like what I have to say. Oh, yes. And I will begin answering questions, and I'm having fun. And then I realize at a certain point that I'm being asked questions because the person's not understanding that I have a different way of seeing life than they. So this is how easy it is for a person who has actual empowered balls to be able and sit. You can ask me till the death of tomorrow, whatever the fuck you want. If I don't want to answer you, I'll tell you I don't want to answer you. I also don't like when people try to connect with you and then they don't actually give a shit. By the way, that when that happens, it's because the men that come in and out of people's lives, they do that. They pretend to care, and then they do and they don't, because, you know, if they have that whole emotional availability and unavailability, but I know you're turning on and off, and in the meantime, I'm pretty sure you know it too, because if I feel uncomfortable, you're going to feel uncomfortable, and that's because you're actually opening up your heart. So an empowered woman learns how those who don't want to open up, unless they decide to be actual men, they won't open up, and they will keep on doing the whole let me go fuck people, get distracted, da da da. And so yeah, they're addicted to the limerence phase, dopamine, oxytocin, the feel-good chemical in the brain, and they go off, you know, and just do that. They keep on doing dating and then breaking up once the commitment stage comes up, and that's because of the fear of commitment, the fear of abandonment, the fear of rejection, and then they keep dating people, obviously, who treat them in the same unhealthy ways that they, by the way, treat others. Because, you know, if you don't know how to tell somebody that you don't want to date, if you don't notice your own behavior at a certain point, you know, I don't know what to tell you at this, in the 2024, what I meant towards, okay, so what happens is lonely and the rest bonus. Okay, and that's where I've met both, and they equally try to share with them. Okay, most of the people that I've met are new ones. They definitely enjoy mysticism, but they do not move strangely. They are a lot of teenagers, and that's not empowerment. So when I meet teenagers, I just know they want to gossip, vent, and basically insult another human being. So here's that comparison I wanted to give you. So when I have met women with their twin flame, and I have twin flames, I want to be insulting the people that I have been with when I'm sharing my emotional charges, okay? And that's number one, which I have noticed with these women who are not empowered, that they're not on the same page. They say they are, but they hold upset towards these human beings in a way of judging their character. And I don't judge their character, because the minute that I understand that you are a fragile human being who has not ever grown up, and you're 3 to 7 is your shame submissive, you're not a human being. I know your fortune side, and I would just hope you're and take yourself seriously. This is all that's it. I don't want you my time to think anything ever. I will get sad for you, and I'm going to move forward, because I'm not going to be sad. I'm going to be a whole human being man. So I'm not losing anything. I'm going to process what is basically, where's Sadhguru, something that's straightforward. Learning to live joyfully with things you do not like is a huge lesson in life. So it's not a huge lesson, it's just things that take place. And to a person, I said I have to accept that I didn't get an opportunity to talk about people. This means they don't give you the opportunity to talk. They will make the decision for you. When you've made a decision, I was given no other option. This is not one time. In these very words, I've spoken them at least twice. I've been given no option. I'm accepting that which I did not agree to, but I was not given a voice. Therefore, I accept, because here's where a whole inner child, that's what I am. I'm a whole, I didn't ever have it to be healed. No, my inner child is always great. I'm good to be my flawed and perfect self. So I know who I am. My name's Maria. And when you will have presented me no opportunity to talk, I know that you silenced me. And I will know that you silenced me because you don't have emotional balls, not the other way around. But I will also know, because of not only stereotypes, but also, you know, other stuff now, but even the stereotypes alone, that you as a man are a clown apparently I'm not supposed to rely on your emotional little, you know, whatever. So there you go. So I've been told what to expect from men and their emotions, which doesn't make it any different. Because again, I won't be treating you like you're some child. No, no, I will tell you, you gave me no option. You did not involve me. You made a choice all by yourself. No, I'm not happy. But I know how to live without you because, you know, again, I need air, water, and food. I don't need you to live. Not to mention, you are not actually a equal partner because you don't have the audacity to even admit to yourself that you have not had any kind of serious conversation with me. It's ridiculous. You're obligating me to put up a facade because you literally did not take any ownership of any of what you've brought in with indirect communication manners. While I've been able to tell you I don't have an option, you, if you're smart, well, yes, that's true. But wait, that would mean you'd have to, oh no, now I'd have to actually go and uncover. Story short, an empowered woman, yeah. So what's nice about people who don't know how to talk about their emotions is nobody needs to talk about anything. And you just learn how to leave it alone because, again, the reality is an emotionally human being, women want to keep bashing them. I've told many of the women, please stop. Do not talk about my stuff this way. I'm sharing this out there. Therefore, we have good relationships. That's it. There's no need to keep on harping this horn of what and who is choosing whatever in life, because the fact is, when you have attachment wounds, you're going to be dating beneath yourself. That doesn't make me happy. When I see my lovers who are not completely in their ability to enjoy life, I am sad, humanly speaking. Not mad, no, sad. I will disengage. I've seen enough of how many times you literally are choosing to just stay in a shitty position. Because at a certain point, I'm going to see your little karma wheel turn around and round and round. And I'm going to be like, okay, that this is what they want. They literally want it. They're happy. They're not sad. They're happy. I need to be sad. It's not my life. They're happy. I can see them. They're telling me how happy they are all the time. Okay, so that's the part. When somebody is with somebody who's treating them like shit, but they're like, I'm happy about it. Okay, you're happy about it. Great. You know what? That's what's going to happen. So yeah, we don't whine about it too long. We will not be angry about it, except for you wasted my time. But then again, I'll know how to say, no, they didn't. I got to learn some great experiences, and I also got to share love. So you're able to process every single of those emotions and not to continue thinking that anybody did anything that was wrong or right. I mean, character-wise, you're not going to have character for an empowered woman or person if you don't know how to actually talk about emotions, if you don't know how to take ownership, if you don't know how to be in a difficult conversation, you don't care. You can't. You don't know how to respond to life. You don't know how to actually be vulnerable in life. It's easy to perform. So what am I mean? If I'm a politician, I can perform all I want. This is easy. There's no heart involved. I'm talking when you have an actual important conversation. This is where you will find people that even at the therapist seat, they are negotiating with their therapist. They're very... So I personally, though, I have to say, I have no... Again, remember, I don't have a rupture with my inner child. I have no issue speaking my mind at all. Zero. I have no shame. So you ask me, is it challenging to be vulnerable? No. I will have been humiliated. And this is the part, I know why, and it is not because of overly giving. No, it is because when you meet people and you've invested because you believe in the relationship and you understand what vulnerability means, it's because you're actually taking a risk. What a relationship is we are taking a risk to get to know each other. So you're not choosing to quote unquote humiliate yourself in a way of I'm doing too much. No, it's I'm willing to put in the effort because I want to, which is why you don't look to the past and be like, I think that there's... So the women who they look to the past, you know what they do? They're going to be sorry. One day they're going to look back and they're going to wish that they had me. So you see all of these women who think of these men that have done 360s on them and that they want one day for these people to look back. I don't. I want every single man to be happy. And in fact, they are. The point is they are. They're happy with their life just the way it is. And I, if anything, I to this day know of every single one of the choice points that I was given, because I evaluate when I've been given choice points, because that's what we are. When you are a person, you're able to consciously choose how to handle your emotions, how to handle your thoughts, how to handle yourself. I love to be able and give love an opportunity, because that is one of the most amazing gifts that you're given, is to share your heart with someone. So the quote-unquote humiliation, it's not humiliation. It's something that I meant to use to say you can get really butt naked and know you are, but be happy, because I know that I have done everything that I can to give a shot to something that I wanted. See, it's not about me giving it for you. When you're empowered, I wanted to give it a shot. And I'm willing to take the risk, and I'm willing to open up. And then once it's done, it's done. If you didn't, it's because I only can laugh, because I don't have enough of what would be, in my book, men who have balls. So I have had the honor and have the honor to at least know one of them who has emotional balls. But other than that, I have clowns. And when I think of clowns, I shut my brain up, because I'm trying to be respectful. Since I was a teenager, I've seen clowns. If you can't accept unconditional love, you're a clown in my book. But now I know, as a person who's aware of attachment and trauma, that it's because they did not ever receive love. So when people are emotionally unavailable, they did not know unconditional love. So, long story short, it's humorous that people are broken, only know lust. It's humorous when a human is completely ignorant of their attachment style or category and cares not to figure it out. Because the reality is, if you want to talk about love, then you would want to figure out where you stand with your nervous system, so that you could understand how intimate you are with yourself before you can go off and scurry into the intimacy with another person. Because the most intimate you're going to be, you don't need to physically be. If you have a safe person, and that can eventually lead itself to more, obviously, because this is the part. If you are a safe person to another person, the minute those hearts begin to connect, that's the minute that you begin to create a specific type of relational field. And that's beautiful. So when two hearts get to meet each other and they get to share vulnerability, that's very beautiful. When two hearts get to see each other, that's beautiful too. But just seeing each other and then not going all the way through, well, that's a pity, which is why I will never have let any of those moments pass me by. I look back and know every single step of my way, I've grown more loving, and I've learned how to be a better speaker, a better lover, a better human being, thanks to every single one of the people that I've met, the men, and for their emotional stuff. It's their stuff, not mine. So I'm not going to go tell somebody what they should do with their own heart. No. What I can tell you is that when you meet people who choose fear, one, we won't be ragging on them for too long, because that's not what we're trying to do. So I've already shared that part where I've learned to disengage from women who get bitter. I don't like them. They're bitter. They talk shit about men who don't need to be talked shit about. They need a good life. But what I'm going to say is, with my own personal life, I will never leave a relationship without having given it my all, because the point is, when I'm done, it's because I did everything I could to say, this is a safe space, I'm being vulnerable, you can choose too, this is not going to be a wrong choice, this is me opening up. You want to choose, and the minute that you will have made clear where we stand is the minute that I will probably have addressed a number of situations with you, however they will have come up. But I will not have done it in a way of trying to shame you. I will have done it in a way of trying to converse. And in a way also of, here's where trying to give you a way out as well. Because the minute that you do a 360 on me, now I know you're a person who's not serious. And so the minute that I try to say, okay, so we're done, right? We're not going to talk about this. This is something that we are concluding. And lo and behold, people like to say, oh, no, we'll talk. We'll talk. So most men don't talk, because they will postpone it and then they will never get back to it. Others, they are the passive, aggressive, indirect communicators. So they just don't address it at all. And in situations, it's always different because you won't know until enough time's gone by and enough interactions have gone by to figure out what's actually taking place. And because by the time you figure out a person's just wasting your time, you're just going to shut it all down. And so when I've realized my time's being wasted, nothing intimate is being built, because if I and you are not connecting from the heart, if I'm not being heard, if I'm not being allowed to talk, you're not doing, I'm just like, okay, you know what, I'm done. This is wait, I've already used enough of my time here. Let's see what we can do to recalibrate it so that we can effectively use time together. And then I will have set up the new relationship, which is why friend zoning is really great. I love friend zoning because that gives me the opportunity to maintain a connection. I love building secure connections. And this is that part of where no person needs to do life my way. You do your life your way. And that's because our interactions are social. So your mental and emotional stuff is yours. It's not mine. If you maintain being a serial dater and you want to stay avoidant, no matter what year it is, with all the information out there, I'm not going to be there saying, hey, let me lecture you about it. Let me come and no. That's why the women who want to harass and lecture, it's like, what? Why? Why? Mind your own business. Go and do your own therapy. Do your own stuff and leave a person alone who's avoidant, who's not there. But that's just, again, personal opinion. When I see the women who are nagging, they're all martyrs and superiors. Those are codependent types. The blamers, they turn into the victims that spit out vengeance from their mouth. And it's like, okay, wow, now you're a squirrel from Cusco land. So women who are not empowered, they keep on, and then they're, you know, saying all men are like this. No, not all men are like anything. Not all women are like anything. What we want to know, what is their attachment category or style? Because that's going to tell us if they are emotionally available or not. The minute that they are not, okay, they have stressors. That's it. You drop it. You leave it alone. You become a friend. That's a safe space. And you keep moving forward with your life. Nobody has to do any kind of correcting. The part about our irritation, for me, it's again about time. I have 24 hours a day. I didn't need to spend it with you. If you don't know how to handle yourself and your emotions, just fuck, learn how to be a grown-up. See, to me, it's just learn how to fucking be a grown-up, because you can actually speak clearly. For example, if you recognize that you're a serial dater, a person can choose to become and just stick to being a serial dater. I'm a serial dater. I don't want to. You will notice your pattern. If you're a person who's smart, you want me to use the word smart, then after a year, 2 years, maximum three, you will notice. Choose how to recognize what you are bringing to the table. What an empowered woman will do. If you tell me, hey, guess what? I really like you. I'm into you, but I'm a serial dater. I do, you know, this. I'll be given an option. I can say yes or no. Like with me, solo polyamory, you can say yes or no. You don't have to like it. I'm not actually bringing it to you so you can negotiate it with me. No, I'm telling you who you get. You don't want it? Okay, I'm a mystic. Woo-woo. Treat me with respect, though. The mystic part, actually. On a serious note, it's a not some funny business. That one, I kid with us because of respecting those who don't believe in it, but anyone in my life would not be able to share aspects that are actually consistently a part of me, like my oversoul. So that's another chance for us, our oversoul. We know of the importance of our oversoul to our growth and one big ball of energy. So whether people believe in it or not, it doesn't matter. If you're a mystic, you're experiencing it, you're living it. It doesn't shut off. And you won't want to shut it off. When I get Akashic downloads, I always forget to focus on the parts that are, because I've gotten some recently, and it wasn't for me, but I was in them, so it was very beautiful. Well, here's the part some people would find it not beautiful, but as a mystic, it's beautiful to know where you come from and then to know how energetically connected to the people in your life. I'm not surprised about my own life. This is the other part. So something that is, I guess one could say, quote unquote, but I don't take it as you having to believe in any conversations that are happening. Because even without mysticism as a teenager, I knew that I was lucky with all the people. That's how I feel about people in my life. And if you don't know how to be an emotionally communicative and mature person, you can learn how to say, I don't know how to talk about emotions. This is why so many different creative ways a person could admit that they are afraid and have the decency to respect another human being, because all it takes is for you to be direct. And that means you're consistent, though. So this is what the serial daters who are avoidant don't, because they'll friend zone you because they want the attention. And so I luckily got to learn how this pattern works, by the way. It's a very straightforward one. And so when I was presented it again in these recent years, I already knew exactly how to handle it. It's called the right silence, because I don't have any questions. I already know you're afraid and you're pressured and whatever other excuse that you're not even going to be able to talk about. I don't need you to apologize. I don't need you to do anything. But the part that I have to consider you a man or intelligent, well, that I'm just doing basically what I got taught. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, and to be humble and to just, you know, leave it alone, since there's great attachment trauma information people out there. But to bitch about all men or women, again, it's unnecessary. So when I see the stereotypes, they don't help us to expand conversations that the way that they can get expanded. And the women who are bitter, they become squirrels from the Emperor's New Groove, and that is not pretty to watch or see or hear, and they don't take their ownership. So I know that I'm a very direct person. I've been told that I'm intense. I'm not going to shy away because you don't know how to handle my intensity, because this is where, again, I think of men wanting to be men. So I'm thinking, you're telling me that I should consider you strong, but then you're feeling that I'm intense and you're backing off and you want to. It is I'm 4'9". I can't stand a physical chance with any person. And so as a teenager, I was a lot more vocal. I learned how to leave it alone, because every person that I ever asked, why'd you lie? Afraid. Why do I need to address fear? It's something boring. It's a small emotion. And literally every man will want to think they're a man. And so, you know, you just learn how to put up just a little bit with the clownish attitude. And then you learn to be careful too, though, because, you know, it's not actually a space that is safe, if you will. So like when you get told by men, you know, you want it, and that's not true, but they're upset and they're being passive aggressive because of basically them being in a spot of having put you in a situation. So for me, I'm smart enough to only go to places where I have people that I know have my back. And so I also trust my gut. But when you hear a man being able to actually speak those kind of words to you, and you're empowered enough to know that this is out of you being upset at your own self because you created a whole situation. And I, Maria, over here, can't spell out to you everything, not because I don't have it, but because I don't stand a physical. I can't pummel you. If I spoke everything that came to my mind, I'm literally going to get a person pissed, because they're already, by the way, pissed. So that doesn't resolve anything. But furthermore, I can't actually protect myself. But why would I even bother? So here's, again, where there's a lack of wisdom. When the people will say, oh, you need to correct it, you need to address it. There's nothing to correct or address in that moment. There's actually simply something very, very sad. It's called, you have no character. If you had character, you would go and get your behavior worked on. If you had more character, then we would not have still stereotypes the way that we do. We would have men that would stop saying something like, you know, you want it based on whatever the fuck. I don't even know where that came from. That sentence, but women who decide to maybe slap a man, that's not justified. In fact, I didn't do any of the sort. I just said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't want it, and he's my friend, and he knows who I am, and I just gave an actual answer because I wasn't reactive, because he didn't offend me. I'm speaking sentences. For me, they're not offensive. They're not irritating. Again, men... Fear. So to me, your spiteful little three-year-old isn't scary. I just know that I can't tell you everything that's on my mind, which is you don't have character, you don't have balls, you don't know what you're doing, you literally need a therapist. I don't even know if you have DID, in this case my friend, because you seriously look like, you know, Clint Clark from Superman. You're switching up your behavior, your moods, all of it. But I'm just saying, in my body, not one inch of me was offended. I was humored. And I actually just thought, oh my gosh, this guy, seriously, you created all this shit and you want to come and be a little spiteful dick, which he wasn't. All he said was, ah, okay, and he left. So, yeah, and this is actually a serial dater. He, if I think about it now, he's a serial dater. He's avoidant. For sure, he's avoidant. And he does like drama because he tried to create some. And he didn't. He wasn't successful at it. And for me, he's still my friend. See, I don't lose respect for people, but I just know you're not, in my book, a man. Like women that go ahead slapping. No, you're not a woman in my book either. You're not empowered. You're not doing us any favors by being in your teenager attitude, which is one of the reasons why I love to work on my emotional plane. So when I think of my lovely past, for me, relationships, I don't have serial daters. I have people who did not definitely know about emotional availability or not and stuff like that. So there's not ownership of certain things, but I know how to work with that because I'm not a person who's going to be looking at you in a way that I need to tell you how to live life. No, I'm going to bring to you what I'm feeling and thinking, and I will look for a conversation. And however I come to you, I will accept that I come to you. So if you say, I'm so sorry, let me recalibrate and try again, you know. But my point is I won't insult you. I won't make it that you needed to give me something specific. But I will let you know if you didn't give me the opportunity to talk about it. So when you will have made my voice silent, you will hear, that's the one thing I will voice, is I didn't get an opportunity to say what I wanted. I was never asked. I was never addressed in how this went or does this thing was going to go, and there you go. And that's the minute that at least I got to say, I didn't, I'm the one who led us here. You led us here because of your envy. And you know, the funniest part is when even speaker that gets you, a person who doesn't even know what the fuck. Oh, this one always, I'm so, I don't know how it works, how a brain works. You don't know what I'm saying to you. I actively try. This is a big challenge, meaning in curiosity, because I've been presented with the equation. Once we figure out that a person is not actually committed, it's very straightforward for the empowered woman to just, you know, again, compersion and the solo polyamory. And that's why relationship anarchy, non-hierarchical, every person is beautiful just the way they are. My whole healed inner child has nothing unfinished with them. The part of when there have been given no answers, that one, it's because a person doesn't have balls. So when people have swept things under the rug, they don't have the balls to talk about it. I have nothing to say to fear because I already know that you're afraid. And I feel bad for the person who harbors it because, see, I get everything off of my chest to make sure you know how I feel about it. And usually I won't be afraid. I'll be sad. I'll be mad. That's it. I'll tell you I'm sad, I'll tell you I'm mad, then I'll tell you I'm sad again, then I'll tell you I'm mad, and it will end at a certain point. And when I know somebody chose fear, and then they don't say anything, and they choose to shy away, well, you can't hurt my heart, your heart, because you know what you did, and I know what you did, and I know that in my heart I'm good. But I'm not the one who actually chose to treat a person like a piece of shit. So the truth is, every person that's a three-year-old, they stay a three-year-old. You know what a three-year-old is? When they're healing, they're getting back to their self. So they will feel shame and guilt for things that they will have done wrong. And that's why the good therapists tell them to have conversations, because that way they can repair what they know that they have done. If they grow balls, then they know how to have deep conversations. If they don't, then they don't get after that stage. That's not for any one of us to judge. I don't judge it. I feel bad for people who don't know how to grow balls. Men, women, they's, because they harbor resentment and then shame and hurt and a lot of things. So I do differentiation, that's what I do, and I accept that men that don't have balls will not grow them unless they choose to talk about that, which is going to be a challenge. But again, once you rip off the band-aid, there you go. So if there's anything I'm going to say is that I have been blessed with a lot of lovely, lovely relationships, and every one of them has led me to become more loving than the next. When I've gotten the opportunity to address people who are emotionally unavailable, I'm going to speak to you directly. When I got attachment trauma informed, now I know that I will leave it alone. I won't be wasting any of my time with a person who's not a healthy, self-worth, emotionally available human being. If they know of their inner child, that is something I will know they will know, because my heart and their heart will connect. The minute I have a clown face, I know exactly who a clown face is. I will not be doing anything except for having fun like I always do, because life is fun. And there's 24 hours. So I won't be offended if somebody does, you know. And anything that's from the past, it's zeroed out, because a person who's a mature, emotionally speaking, human being doesn't harbor, again, in the heart. I have love and compassion for every single person and compersion. So all I want for any person that has been ever a lover of mine is that they are happy. And that's what I see. That's why with our twin flames, there's no saga. They do them, we do us, and we keep walking our paths, and we keep on connecting in a recalibrated way. This is, though, I need to repeat, I'm a solo poly, that's why. So I'm not building a couple-centric life. And I know how to be my own safe haven, secure base. So empowerment, as I specified as we started, we'll specify it again. It indicates you have mental and emotional awareness, mastery, and desire to self-regulate. You do not choose to shame, blame, fault, or revenge. You don't do low self-esteem, passive-aggressive, indirect communication with anyone. So if you meet a human being who's a serial dater, man or woman might they be, if you are actually empowered, you will not be addressing them by talking down or up. You will be addressing them to the best of your ability with a functional adult tone. That doesn't mean it's calm. It could be very passionate. It could be very direct. It doesn't mean it's not intense. That doesn't matter. You're not here to be somebody else. If you're interacting, as long as you're presenting, your opportunity is to converse. Another person, they choose fear, they choose fear. Let them hide their stuff, but you can choose to speak. Speaking is the most amazing of opportunities. And like I said, it's amazing when you get healthy, self-worth men. That is the most beautiful of intimate relationships, like with healthy self-worth women, because we are talking about the human basic emotions and how life is. We're talking about all of it. But none of us are making out to be like we got some hard, shitty life going on, because we know what hard means. Meaning, yes, some days can be emotionally. That's why you want to have the partners. Like for me, when I think of a healthy self-worth man, is a person who can support me, not because of me needing them to protect me, no, but because I want that hug, perhaps because today was a day where I was reminded with all the human suffering that is out there, how many people don't move into getting healthy self-worth therapy. I don't want to do personal development. So yeah, I'm going to want that person who's uplifted, though, not in a nervous system that is bringing to me some tragedy as if humanity is going down the shithole. No. I don't want a negative human being, a person who's proactive. So that means you have emotional availability to yourself, because otherwise you're not going to be able to be proactive. Purusha Prakriti is pure energy, Prakriti, pure consciousness, Purusha. Unconditional love, that's because you're in your higher social engagement system. Integration of the brain, my lovely listeners. This is what you and I have the capacity to be in. I'm in it. It's called the restorative embodiment of me, and you can have it too. Now, for those who have dysregulated or modulated, there's trauma charges. So this is the part. There are, and there is a journey, but you need to be the one who wants to do the emotional lifting, and to have balls means to directly communicate with a person, especially if you've treated them in certain ways that you will know you were not in the, it was not right. So I have met people who very easily will be okay with hiding to your face what they've done, because I addressed it as a teenager. I didn't do it again as a grown-up. As a grown-up, what I learned to do is I'm going to try to address something a certain amount of times. And by the time I get to 3, I know you don't want to tell me shit. And that's it, I'm done with that. And now I've calibrated because I got a data point, and then I got another data point. And so now I know I got a Cusco mask in front of me. I got a teenager. Okay, cool. I know that I have a person who doesn't know how to do balls, man, woman, they might it be. They don't know how to calibrate their nervous system, so they don't know how to be open-hearted. They're going to be one of the people who is in the human suffering love group. So I'm going to learn to recalibrate and mind my own business and just share life like any other person does. And that means inner interactions. But you're not a person who's going to be able to consistently show up, because anytime you get in a mood, you're stressed and you're going to say, I don't want to be here, I don't want to do this, and you're not actually learning to be together as a herd. The nice thing about a herd is that we lift each other up. The point about life and moods is that the more you consistently allow yourself to navigate to your ventral vagal, the more you'll be in a good mood, because you're emotionally choosing to be in one that doesn't involve rumination. But if you want to stick to the crappy mood, that's where people don't always want to do personal development. I don't want to do it. I want life now. Instead, that's the opportunity. So when you're in a shitty mood, anytime that emotion comes up, you get the opportunity to process it. That's why for those of us who do that, like with the tolerance, frustration, irritation, stuff like that, it's always going to be something that you say, oh, I have the opportunity. Oh, this is so great. I have a relationship that gave me the opportunity to work through this energy and this emotion, and I get to become more of myself, because that's what it feels like as you become more pure consciousness. You just feel more connected to all. You're interconnected, and we share that relational feel. When you're with healthy self-worth men, FYI, that's what gets to grow, because they're open-hearted, and healthy self-worth women as well. But, you know, the energies are different. So we do complement. There's a complementary between the divine masculine and the divine feminine energies. So for me, I'm a divine feminine, and my divine masculines are men. And when you find the ones who know how to work with their own stuff, it's really awesome. So beautiful. Yes. Two independent come together, and that's why it's ma-we, and it creates a stronger, because it's not enmeshment, it's not entanglement. And I read to you already the Sadhguru quote, I believe, but that's where we don't entangle. Let's see if I can find it quickly as we run out of time. it was a quote, here it is. If you are in communion with truth, your relationships will just be relationships, not attachments. You will know involvement, but no entanglement. And that's because you're an integrated brain and interconnected, like Daniel Siegel shares. So you get to be a mo-we, and actually it's even more amazing. So we'll be back with more. Again, please be kind and compassionate, and looking forward to hearing your questions, your thoughts. Have a great one.